Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I have a hodgepodge of a report today, so bear with me. Hey, it's a hodgepodge of a country as we speak, so why should the theater world be any different? The good news, New York productions are continuing, opening, closing sometimes, and getting us anticipating. And the year's trend of successful off-to-on-Broadway shows continues, most notably with the comedic take on the wife of a former president named Abe. Oh, Mary! Exclamation point, was a word-of-mouth sensation when it played downtown at the Lucille Lortel Theater. Well, now it has begun performances at Broadway's Lyceum Theater, where it officially opens this week. We'll see if this rather raunchy show appeals to the tourist crowd. More of a safe bet is the Encore's production of Once Upon a Mattress, which is getting even more exciting, with the additions of new cast members Anna Gasteyer and Will Chase. They join stars Sutton Foster and Michael Urie. That show will have a limited engagement at the Hudson Theater from July 31st through November 30th. Urie and Foster, by the way, will then headline a four-week Los Angeles engagement at Center Theater Group's Amundsen Theater. I'm out here now, and believe me, the Center Theater Group needs the good news. Speaking of good news for a company, the Perlman Arts Center, known as PAC, the new venue at the World Trade Center, seems to have its first big hit with Cats the Jellicle Ball. This one has been extended and seems up through mid-August at least. As for what is coming to New York stages, well, they keep on coming on. Cult of Love, a play about a bittersweet holiday gathering of a Christian family, will come to Broadway this fall via the Second Stage Theater. Cult of Love is written by Leslie Headland, a creator of the Netflix series Russian Doll and the Disney Plus series The Acolyte. The play is scheduled to begin previews in November and to open in December at the Hayes Theater. This is Headland's final work, by the way, of a series called Seven Deadly Plays, inspired by those sins we all know and fear. And then there is the Long in the Works musical about Betty Boop, the infamous curvy flapper first featured in animated films of the 1930s. The Betty Boop musical will open on Broadway next spring following a run in Chicago. The show imagines that Boop leaves her early 20th century film life to travel to present-day New York, where the musical comedy ensues. Maybe they can find a way for Betty Boop and Mary Lincoln to get together. And speaking of historical figures, on to Paul Robeson. That late and great singer, actor, was just recreated in a one-man piece at New York City's Little Island. How I wish I had been there for those few performances, and I am so hoping it returns in some larger form. Little Island, by the way, is worth checking out for its ongoing entertainment events in its little amphitheater. Right now, one is up called Open Throat, which deals with a mountain lion who famously hid behind the Hollywood sign out here on the West Coast. Did I mention it is a queer mountain lion? Yep. Now back to Robeson for a moment. He was an important singer who inspired so many, including, I believe, my favorite singer of the moment, that being Audra McDonald. Now, many of us are very excited about her taking on Mama Rose in Gypsy next season. In the meantime, she, like so many others, continues to perform as herself. She just did a concert in San Diego last week, which was a sold-out success. Now, I recall when I first saw her in a supporting role in Carousel at Lincoln Center. The lights had barely come back up when I grabbed my playbill and looked up her name. It's fun to recall performers we sort of feel we discover, along with everyone else, hopefully. I came home from the Broadway show Barnum years ago, and I looked up who played that title character's wife. Her name was Glenn Close. And of course, I reviewed an off-Broadway play right here more than a decade ago, which starred a young man still in high school. It was called Prodigal Son. The unknown star was remarkable, and I am proud to say I ended my report by saying, remember this name, Timothy Chalamet, and I spelled it out. Teenage girls love when I tell them that story. Most recently, I saw and singled out Ben Levi Ross in a show in New York, and he's now killing it as a narrator in Gatsby in Boston. That Gatsby is hoping to come to New York to compete with the current Gatsby. Okay, from bragging to business, Broadway, after all, is about money, of which Hell's Kitchen is the latest show, making plenty, it seems. Despite its surprise loss to The Outsiders for the Best Musical Tony, Alicia Keys' semi-autobiographical show has consistently posted the biggest weekly ticket sales among new musicals. In addition to the fees, royalties, and profits that Alicia Keys is entitled to as lead producer, the 16-time Grammy winner is being paid for the use of her songs and her life story. Well, you do the math. Hell's Kitchen could pay off its production costs early next year by sustaining its average weekly ticket sales of about $1.5 million. Now, as I've said here before, if shows don't bring in at least $1 million a week, well, they could be endangered. Long-timers continue to do well, starting, of course, with Hamilton and Lion King. And Moulin Rouge, by the way, has quietly recouped its $28 million capitalization and paid its Broadway investors a 5% return. MJ, the $22 million Michael Jackson musical, distributed to investors a roughly 10% return. Now, I know this is just about numbers, but investing in shows is risky business. But hey, if you've got the dough and the passion, why not? My late father once was approached about investing in a show. The man had no interest or much knowledge of the theater world. He, of course, said no. "Who wants to see a show about some woman who gives parties in Washington?" he said. Yes, that show was called MAME. Well, good news for Wicked fans, another show that sells out nightly, by the way. The screen version, Wicked Part 1, starring Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande, and Jason Bailey of Bridgerton fame, will arrive in movie theaters on November 22nd, a bit earlier than previously announced. It will face off against Gladiator 2, starring Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal. Now, speaking of Denzel, let's not forget, he's scheduled to hit Broadway again next season, alongside Jake Gyllenhaal, currently in a TV series called Presumed Innocent, in Macbeth. Denzel, Jake, and George Clooney all on Broadway in 2025. Yes, please. Lots of entertainment, cross-pollinization, if that's the right word. Speaking of which, apparently a film is being planned about the life of Mike Nichols, based on the 2021 biography by Mark Harris. A great book, a great talent. It will focus on a young Nichols as he journeys from Chicago to Broadway to Hollywood to make his first film, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which starred, well, a fairly well-known couple known as Liz and Dick. Anyway, that's something to keep an eye on. I promise I will do so, and I'll see you here next week.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.